Hello, and welcome to Interview with a Geek. I'm your host, John Knight. On this week's program, I'm interviewing Alaskan singer-songwriter and brown coat, Marion Call. Please note, this week's program is audio only.
Good afternoon, Marion. How are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
All right, thanks for being on the show. So your recent album, Something Fierce, just came out. How long actually has that been out?
Well, the digital release came out about October 1st, and people didn't really start getting it in the mail until about October 20th. But I did that on purpose because the album really kind of came from the internet. All the support for it came from the internet, and so I wanted everyone to be able to have it on the same day at the same time all over the world.
Oh, very cool. I have to admit, I believe in transparency as an interviewer. I have not purchased your album yet. I have, however, streamed it a few times off of your website, which is another great thing. As an artist, you do actually offer up your fans and soon-to-be fans, I would imagine.
I stream everything for free. Sorry. I try to stream everything for free because not everyone is always in a situation to buy music. But I like that you added yet to the end of that sentence.
It is a definite on the to-do list. I've tightened the belt, as it were, this year. And so entertainment has unfortunately suffered the most, as it were. But speaking of tightening the belt, before we started the show here, you and I were chatting. And since this show is going to hopefully air on or around Black Friday, we got to talking about that, and you mentioned something I was not familiar with at all, which was a No Shop Friday.
Yeah, Buy Nothing Day.
I'm sorry, Buy Nothing Day.
No, that's okay. It's been going on for a while. I'm not sure how long, but I've participated since college. I just decide not to do any consumer spending on that day and to actually think about the things I care about, which is, of course, problematic now that I'm trying to sell something for the holidays, but... It's funny, I hate advertising, but I'm in advertising, and I'm not that into consumerism, and yet I'm selling consumer goods. So it keeps me on my toes intellectually, I guess.
That's interesting. I was going to say that you also made a comment about trying to make or to purchase handmade items for gifts this season.
That's my plan. I would like to, I'm hoping to spend all my money for the holidays on artists where the funds go directly to the artist, pretty much. There's a lot of local boutiques in Anchorage that I like that carry handmade work. There's a lot of musicians that I know if I purchase from them, I'll be supporting directly. And I also always make a mix CD that I hope no one ever sues me for, trying to introduce my friends and family to my new favorite music I discovered this year.
Oh, that's, well, fingers are crossed. I recommend...
Yeah, I published...
Go ahead.
I always push the playlist online as well, so anyone can see what my choices for the year are.
But. There you go. I was going to say, you might want to check out the Electronic Frontier Foundation for some guidelines as far as that. They're pretty useful when it comes to those sorts of things. I was going to ask you, or I was going to comment that I'm trying to remember the first time I actually found you on the internet, and I think it had to do with Got to Fly. And I just found out doing my research for the interview that was a commissioned album. Is that accurate?
That is true. That was a commission. I had written one or two science fiction related songs, and Quantum Mechanics, a very cool company. I like them a lot. They make fan stuff for certain franchises. They approached me about making more, and they wanted a whole album, and they were willing to produce it, or they were willing to fund it, and they wanted me to produce it, and they were kind enough to work out a very good deal where I maintained the digital rights, and I thought that was very friendly of them. So they were pretty cool about just supporting a new artist starting out with, I mean, what company that makes model ships releases a record or acts as a record label? It's pretty strange, but it worked out well, I think, for them and for me, and it really helped me out. And it was cool to have a topic to write about. I like specific topics. I love commissions. I've been thinking in my next projects, I might ask for specific commissions or topics from fans to keep my skills sharp.
No, very, very cool. That being said, as the name of the show, Interview with a Geek, may imply, I am a geek and consider myself both that and a dork and a nerd. Just being honest. That being said, I know from talking to other guests and just other folks in the geekverse that there are lots of definitions. And I know when I was younger, being called one or the other either was a compliment or the opposite. And so I guess I'll ask you this, with not being too labely here, do you identify yourself as a geek or nerd or some combination thereof?
I've heard so many conflicting definitions that I subscribe to, both geek and nerd. I would say probably nerd in the in music and music theory, because I have a pretty deep history of studying that. And geek in that I'm interested in the pop culture geek stuff and the various franchises and like to talk to smart people. And I'm not really sure where the boundary line is. I've heard a lot of things. And dork in that I have a terrible time socializing in large crowds. Welcome. I would kind of rather hide in the corner.
I was going to say, I can do that as well. I'm guilty as charged there. The other thing...
But I'm not a fan of the of really getting down to the nitty-gritty of the distinctions. Although, I guess, honestly, that's in the nature of geeks, nerds, and dorks to argue about the differences. But I'm not into getting... I'm not into this phenomenon that's cropping up lately as new geeks come out of the woodwork, mm-hmm. I think, with social networking, or new people start identifying as geeks. I'm not into this litmus test mentality that some people are and some people aren't, and we have to winnow the wheat from the chaff. I think that's kind of an ugly mentality. Well-intentioned, maybe, but...
I was going to say, I've heard that, and... I find it very frustrating and sad, particularly historically speaking. Most of my interactions with geeks and nerds have just been fantastic, and most of them are just, I think, wonderful, wonderful people. I have seen some of this recently. In fact, I think there was a now probably soon to be classic infographic that came out showing the definition or clarifying the difference between nerd and geek, and it caused quite a bit of ire with some folks that I know. So I know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to do that with you. That's sort of why I tried to phrase the question. I've sort of described it as, as far as, nerd is that deep, deep, deep knowledge, as you sort of alluded to in your definition or in talking about it, and that geek can be, doesn't have to be as deep, but it's about a passion or following an interest. And that can be almost anything, to the point where you, quote, geek out about it or love to share your enthusiasm with people, sometimes uncontrollably. So that's sort of way that's why I approach it anyway. But that being said, I'm a big sci-fi geek, amongst other things, comic book nerd, etc. But so that being said, you've used a phrase now that has I've flagged, and that is and franchises or other franchises referring to sci-fi. So is that your catch-all definition for BSG, Firefly, etc., or is there a bigger meaning there?
Let's see. There's probably a better word, but I have defaulted to franchises because that's what I wind up discussing most in the licensing realm of things, like what I'm allowed to write about and what I'm not. I guess franchises, because so often they're not just a TV series. They're also books and models and fanfic and artwork. And, there's a lot more. It's sort of a multimedia experience if you care about any one of these things. Or even more kind of classic stuff like Ender's Game or Asimov. It's like there's the story, but then there's also the community that surrounds the story. So I feel like book is not quite a big enough word for one of those things, or like TV series is not quite a big enough word for Firefly, which has this whole culture that's grown up around it. So franchise is maybe not the best, since it suggests some commercialization, but I don't know how to say, all of these things, meaning like, Firefly, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, etc., etc., etc. And a lot of them are in different media, various comic books or superhero legends, or I don't know how to describe them all except by saying franchises and have people know what I'm talking about. But I'm working on it. If you know a better word, by all means.
I think you have completely convinced me. Not only was I wrong to ask the question, but I too will start calling and referring as franchises.
Oh, well.
No, you've sold me. I know. I wasn't challenging you. I was curious, but now that you've said it, I think it makes perfect sense.
I need a better plural noun for all these groups of cultures and groups of canonical stories that are so I don't know, I'm into story, and I feel like the stories are so important that they bring a lot of other kinds of art with them. So,
I would agree. I think that's one of the interesting things, and I want to get your take on this, is that you've mentioned a whole lot of these universes, these franchises, and I think in the last, well, probably could stretch out to the past decade, but people have seen a lot of comic book graphic novel stories come into mainstream films. Obviously, there's the entire Marvel franchises of films, but there's you know, AMC's The Walking Dead. A lot of people don't know it is based off of a graphic novel. And I was just curious, do you think
they should?
That's right. That's right. Can't recommend the book enough. But do you think it's that story element that you're referring to that's really what is at the heart of this phenomenon?
I think that story is bigger than one medium, and now that media are transgressed so easily from one to the other, the medium itself is becoming less important. And so that, you know, a comic book will spring up, but it's not as big a leap as it once was, maybe, to take it from a comic book to a TV series or a web series and a series of artwork inspired by and a podcast and, you know, all these other things. That's not such a great leap as it used to be now that all the boundaries are blurring.
This is true.
So what was the question?
No, just basically that was really the story in and of itself really at the heart of enabling all these different stories coming from comic books, graphic novels, to spread them over all these media, and you answered the question beautifully.
So. I think I'm really interested in story as being at the heart of whatever my next project is, but I'm not sure what that is. There are all these essentials to the stories. As a literature student, I'm a nerd about that sort of thing. And I'm thinking about how to create some sort of project that boils down some of these stories and some of these characters in the geek culture down to their essentials. And figure out what's at the heart of all these heroes and anti-heroes and villains and, you know, universes. So
interesting. Obviously, we'll stay tuned and look forward to your ongoing work. Now, that being said, something else I learned about my doing my research. I get to write off everything that was research, right, as a fan, so it's all research now. You have the, I'm going to totally budge it. You have a special website for your fans and your donators. Is it? Mm-hmm. I'm missing the name. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. The donors. Yeah.
Yes.
The donors
are... And you've in the past let them sort of track and follow along a album's progress. Can you tell me a little about that?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be working on stuff for them today. I hope that I do. it's the Donor Circle helped to fund this new album, and I approached them about it. Goodness, I mean, 2.5 years ago. So this is for the long haul that they've been in here. They've either bought items in auctions, or some of them have set up a monthly subscription. Some of them have actually given me hardware or you know, a substantial sort of physical gift of some kind that worked for tour. And like a video camera or something like that. And they get special bonus stuff, I guess, anything that I can think of. They get first access to anything that I sell, and usually cheaper or at cost, because they've kind of already paid their way in. They get extras of things, like if it runs out for everyone, it doesn't necessarily run out for the donors. And they have had sort of a production photo blog, which was a lot of fun to do while we were recording. Less interesting while I'm sitting on my couch editing, but I put a few photos of that in there too. I try and keep them sort of the first to know on most things. I'm actually going to be working on uploading today commentaries on a bunch of my tracks, like audio commentaries,
If
for a DVD on a lot of the tracks. And that'll be some of the things that they get. And a blooper reel. Blooper reel from the studio.
Very, very, very cool. We'll switch gears here just ever so slight, but back to geek culture. I had a question. So in listening to Gotta Fly, I guess I've got to ask the all-important question to a very, very small segment of my listeners and me. Do you consider yourself a brown coat, or was that just pandering? I'm kidding about the pandering comment.
I consider myself a genuine brown coat. I go to brown coat meetups on my own when I'm not performing. I go to Can't Stop the Serenity events. I hang out with friends and watch Firefly recreationally, and the lexicon of Firefly is part of my everyday vocabulary. So I think that counts.
I think that's shiny. Now, the comment to pandering is a reference to there's been a lot of. I interviewed Jessica Mills for one of the programs, and in talking to her, we talked both before the show and on it about how a lot of quote geek girls have been accused of pandering and not being really geek girls or whatnot. So that was just my poor attempt at humor to question your geekdom. The other question I have for I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I think that's fair because, I mean, it's no girl likes to be asked those questions, quote, because she's a girl. But I think that it's valid to ask those questions because there are so many people out there right now who are willing to profit from this sort of uptick in geek popularity and the money that follows, because the money definitely follows, as anyone who's been to a convention knows. I mean, there's so much money floating around the floor there, and people are perfectly willing to make a half-assed thing related to Firefly and try and sell it. And I know that for real geeks, it's not just the product that counts, it's also the thought behind it. Like, they want to buy stuff that geeks made, not stuff that heartless commercial entities made. And so I think there's a degree to which that's a fair question, although it's as long as you're asking me as a vendor and not as a female.
I'm good. Yes. yes, that's
and I presumed that you were.
Yes. Now, it's interesting, what you make comment is that there is a lot of money flowing around with a lot of these properties and franchises still, and even more so. And it is, I've seen a lot, as I think you were commenting on, there's been a lot of poor quality attempts at commercializing on the geek is chic sort of tour de force that's been going on for the last couple of years, I guess. And
yeah.
I was... Oh, good.
Dangerous ground, I think. It's dangerous ground for a for people who love stuff to see money get tangled up in it. At the same time, they want the stuff because the stuff is fun, you know?
Yes.
It's difficult.
Yes, I was going to say that as far as my Firefly cred goes, I do have a bathroom in my home, one of two that are decorated in a Firefly theme. And I have a Stegosaurus and a Tyrannosaurus Rex by the soap dish, and I actually have a Alliance Foodstuffs shaped soap I got off the internet.
No way.
Yes, and I'm trying to desperately remember the lady who made it, but I'll have to post that up on the notes when I post the show. But yeah, fantastic soap, and it looks just like a prop. It's pretty cool. So
that's awesome.
Hey, just to let you know, that's the special soap no one actually is supposed to use, just FYI. The hand soap's in the bottle.
Oh, but, so if I come over, don't actually
exactly,
use it.
Exactly. I'm just telling you right now, heads up. So, yep. So there's no.
Okay, good. I'll remember that.
No consternation lately.
What state are you in, by the way?
Right now in Michigan. That may be changing. I may be relocating for a job soon. So actually not sure what state that will be in. So that will be another adventure. But yeah, currently in Michigan. And I missed you on your 50 state tour. And that I heard was from reading about it was quite something. And just again, because I'm not sure all my fans are that familiar with the tour, you essentially, you toured all the 50 states. Exactly how did that come about and how did you do it? There was sort of the mechanics to it that was a little different than most tours would go by.
Oh boy. It was very friendly. It was sort of like, calling on your friends and neighbors and relatives because you're coming in from out of town and you need somewhere to stay and you need some information, except that all happened on Twitter. And that was probably the time when my Twitter presence was the most active, when I got the most response and the most mileage for my tweets, because every day I was asking people, where do you live? Tell me about where you live. Where should I play where you live? Where should I eat? Where should I stay? Does anyone want to come? You know, and meeting these Twitter followers every day. It was really, really fun. And I can't believe it's been a year already. It feels like I've still just got off it, probably because I haven't taken a proper vacation yet, except for a day or two. Lordy, that means I haven't taken a vacation in like 2 years. Maybe it's time. Whew.
Hope this will be the last interview you take before your vacation.
I gotta sell a few CDs to take a vacation, you know?
There you go. First things first. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Pardon me.
Oh, no problem. I was going to say that... go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, fine. on the... on the 50 States tour, what was so amazing was actually meeting so many of my social media friends in real life. And I really liked that, in part because I really like people and I'm into people. There's really nothing more interesting or messed up than people. It's just, they're great. And yeah, God, they're beautiful. It just made me really fall in love with my fan base. I like them a lot. I whenever I raise my glass, I drink to them. So it was good to meet them in person.
Very, very cool. I know you mentioned Twitter, and I guess you're on other social networks as well, but has Twitter been your primary contact with your fan base?
I'm on Facebook and... Oh, yeah, yes, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Google Plus, and I was very, very active on MySpace. I think MySpace was really the groundwork, where the groundwork was laid. But of course, that's extinct now, so to speak. Twitter, I'd say, is my primary, but that may shift, you know. I mean, I'm less committed to a single social media outlet because they evolve so quickly and people's attention spans evolve so quickly, or the company can sometimes do something that bugs all their followers, I guess. Like someone like Twitter or Facebook can do something that drives everyone crazy and makes them all go away. So I'm less committed to one particular company when it comes to social media and more committed to just being accessible to fans wherever that takes place. So if something else comes up in the future where I'm more accessible, then that works for me.
I was gonna say, it sounds like a plan. I was gonna say, just
yeah, last... to be both.
Yeah, well, I mean, if, you know, famous last words, you know, the last social media site I'll ever use is X, Y, or Z. It is interesting to see how they changed.
That's not something I'll be saying anytime soon.
Well, from your interest in all things geeky and nerdy, what are some things you're looking forward to here in the next couple months? Be they film, music, comic, television, I was going to say theater, anything that you're looking forward to.
Oh, God, there's so much happening at any given time. I mean, here in Anchorage, I'm really sad that I just missed an operatic production of The Grapes of Wrath. Opera, a premiere. I really wish I could have gotten to see that, but I'll try and catch it in some other form if I can. I'm stoked about the Avengers and brushing up on my Avengers history. I'm kind of new to X-Men. I'm new to comics in general. When I was younger, I always felt like those were boy things, and now that I'm a grown-up and involved in Geek Girl Con and so on, I feel like I'm catching up on years and years of missing out on comics, and I just love them. So I've been reading lots of X-Men. And watching lots of X-Men, and can't wait for more Fables. Can't wait for the Muppets. I am definitely going to be there.
I am waiting for Muppets. Yep.
Zelda Skyward Sword just came out, and I'm really bummed because I don't get to play it until I go visit my friends in Juneau, because I don't have a gaming system for that. But I'm currently playing through the 3D version of Ocarina of Time that was just released for Nintendo 3DS, and I'm on the Master Quest, and it's awesome.
I was gonna say no Skyrim for you. That seems to be the big winner.
No, I don't have time for Skyrim. I don't have the hours to log. I need to work. I don't watch TV either, which is appalls a lot of my fans. Like, oh my God, you're not watching whatever TV show, and I'm like, no. If I did, I would never get any work done. So, I only put on TV mostly things I've already watched in the background while I clean or do dishes or something. But someday I'll take a vacation and catch up on all these TV shows. That sounds so amazing.
I was going to say that's probably a thing. Well, if you can get me a P.O. box or something, I will. I'm very heartened to hear that you're catching up on some of your reading. I would be happy to send you a care package of comics.
Oh, I would be very happy to receive that.
And it will be.
I'm looking for intro packs and things because honestly, the canon is so big that it's really daunting to approach.
Oh sure, sure. Yeah, I'll start digging through some of my books and pick a couple out for you.
Yay.
Yeah, I stopped measuring my collection in books and in square footage, so we're I'm beyond that. So, and as much of a computer nerd and programmer that I am, I actually have not indexed it. So I actually, I'll have to physically pull things. So Anyway, very cool. I was any interesting now since you're from Alaska. I have to say this. I'm a Midwestern guy. I lived in Texas for a couple years, but I've never made it to Alaska yet. And most of what I've learned has either been through literature or secondhand or
Reality TV.
Yeah. Well, no. I was actually going to say I'm trying completely. There was the old TV show that was set in Alaska. I'm completely about the doctor. Oh, I'm completely blanking.
Yeah. Set in Washington.
Northern Exposure. So that being said, what are some of the myths about Alaska that you could dispel right here and now for me personally before I venture north?
I don't want to dispel any myths. I want people to be afraid to come here. I want them to think that there's nothing to do here and that it's all one big pack of ice, because if they knew the truth, they'd all be here. So, no, if you come here, bears will eat you, moose will charge you, and the price of living is unbearable, and the cold is too cold for words. So stay away. Stay far, far away. And Sarah Palin will teach your children. I don't know. What can I say? I love living here. I've seen all 50 states and I want to live here. I really like Alaska. I think every state has problems, but Alaska has the most interesting problems. So I want to stay here with these problems. I really love it here. I don't know. The people here are like people nowhere else. And someone said to me the other day at a concert, I tried to leave. I moved out after living in Alaska for 6 years, but I found I was just looking for Alaska everywhere I went. So I came back. And I thought that summed it up pretty nicely. It kind of gets its claws in you.
Very, very nice description. I will add that down to just don't come to Alaska, be afraid. So, very nice description. Very nice description. Like I said, now I don't want to go. Well, Marion, thank you so much for being on the show and answering my randomly inspired questions. I'm a big fan, again, soon to be a fan that has put down money to purchase your album. So, I'm sure you'll be checking the receipts here shortly. Is there anything else you'd like to tell, prospective fans about your music and about you, that I may have missed or glanced over?
I would just say, if you've been kind of following along for a long time, but you haven't actually listened to anything, I would say, give it a listen, because I think a lot of people will be surprised at how wide the reach is. It's a lot of different styles. It's not just folk, and it's not just acoustic, and it's not just jazz, and it's not just folk. It's a lot of things. It spans a lot of territory. So,
a great description. I was going to add to that. Absolutely beautiful music. I enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right.